Greetings. Welcome to all listening. A Levite named Joses, J-O-S-E-S, was the only person given a special name by New Testament church leaders, renamed to Son of Encouragement. He was genuinely positive, uplifting, humble, seeing the good in others, and encouraging, thus becoming a prime factor in the growth of the early church. Luke called him, quote, a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Who is this mystery man? And why did the church leaders rename him Son of Encouragement? Do we know how to be encouraged? Do we know how to encourage others? If not, today we have encouraging news. How often have we been discouraged? We all experience periods of discouragement, times when we feel down. Most of us pull out of these particularly rough spots in life, but some have a harder time than others. Maybe right now, some of us are in such a period of discouragement. Let's see what the Bible says about encouragement. In today's message entitled Encouragement, we'll look at 12 points. 1. Having a discouraging day. 4 examples. 2. The Holy Spirit, our comforter. 3. Ask for an encourager. 4. Encourage others. 5. How often to encourage. 6. Which words to encourage. 7. Of course, Mr. Levite named Son of Encouragement. 8. Say words of encouragement. 9. Write words of encouragement. 10. At the feast, encourage people. 11. Do deeds of encouragement. And 12. 31 biblical examples of overcoming problems to encourage us. Point 1. Having a discouraging day. 4 examples. So you think you're having a bad day. Example number 1. There was a case in one hospital's intensive care ward where patients always died in the same bed on Sunday morning at around 11 a.m., regardless of their medical condition. This puzzled the doctors, and some even thought that it had something to do with the supernatural. No one could solve the mystery as to why the deaths occurred around 11 a.m. on Sundays. So a worldwide team of experts was assembled to investigate the cause of the incidents. The next Sunday morning, a few minutes before 11 a.m., all the doctors and nurses nervously wait outside the ward to see for themselves what terrible phenomenon was all about. Some were holding wooden crosses, prayer books, and other holy objects to ward off the evil spirits. Just when the clock struck 11, Pookie Johnson, the part-time Sunday custodian, entered the ward and unplugged the life support system so that he could plug in the vacuum cleaner. Example number 2, having a bad day. The average cost of rehabilitating a seal after the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska was $80,000. At a special ceremony, two of the most expensively saved animals were being released back into the wild amid cheers and applause from onlookers. A minute later, in full view, a killer whale ate them both. Example number three. Still think you're having a bad day? A woman came home to find her husband in the kitchen, shaking frantically, almost in a dancing frenzy, with some kind of wire running from his waist towards the electric kettle. Intending to jolt him away from the deadly current, she whacked him with a handy plank of wood, breaking his arm in two places. Up to that moment, he had been happily listening to his Walkman. And last example four, still think you're having a bad day? Two animal rights protesters were protesting the cruelty of sending pigs to a slaughterhouse in Bonn, Germany. Suddenly, all 2,000 pigs broke loose and escaped through a broken fence, stampeding madly. The two hopeless protesters were trampled to death. Point two, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. From Good News, September 87 article, The Power of Encouragement, points 2 to 6, we note, in getting out of discouragement, when we're down, we must specifically ask God to encourage us. God will do so by direct intervention through the working of His Holy Spirit. Have we ever noticed that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter? Also translated, Counselor, Helper, Advocate. John 14:26 says, in the King James, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. American Standard Version also has this John 14:26. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall, etc. A suitable alternate rendering here would be the Encourager. God's Holy Spirit is a power, and He uses it to encourage. The Holy Spirit can literally generate uplifting, positive thoughts in our minds. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. We see some basic teachings about encouragement and how it functions. Paul writes, quote, Blessed be the Father, be God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The Greek word for comfort here is paraklesis. This word is rich in meaning, as we shall see. God is the God of all comfort. In other words, the God of all encouragement. Encouragement is one of God's specialties. How sad that many assume God is involved only in knocking us down and testing us. God wants to pick us up. Yes, He does. We read in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, God comforts us in all our tribulation. Here we have the verb parakleo, which is related to parakletos. In other words, God encourages us in all our troubles. Why does God encourage us? One reason is because we individually need to be picked up. God lifts us up, his little children, when we're going through trials. But that's not all. There's another reason. Notice verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 again, that we may be able to comfort, that is, encourage, those who are in any trouble with the comfort or encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted or encouraged by God. Clearly, we are expected to become encouragers also. After we suffer trials and are comforted by God, we can show compassion to others who experience the same problems. God encourages us, and then we can encourage others. Point 3, ask for an encourager. Next, in overcoming discouragement, when we're down, we must specifically ask God to send an encourager, another human being who will say what needs to be said, lift our spirits, encourage, strengthen, and help us get moving again. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5 says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, paraklesis, also abounds through Christ." Encouragement should abound through Jesus Christ. Paul had troubles on every side, but Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 7, 4, "I am filled with comfort," paraklesis, encouragement. Let's turn then, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." How did God comfort him? Let's turn a little over. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus." Sometimes God sends a positive human being, a loving, giving person into our lives who says what needs to be said. Titus did just that for Paul. As Christians today, we flourish and grow so much more when we lift up one another. People who feel inadequate or overwhelmed by their weaknesses are encouraged to go on, not to give up. Point 4, encourage others. Encourage others. Next, when we're finally up and positive again, God wants us to encourage others. The word paraklesis used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 has many different connotations. It conveys, for example, the act of coming alongside or drawing near. This Greek verb was often used to describe a ship coming alongside a pier as it docked. When we apply it to people, it means drawing near or being near somebody. It doesn't necessarily involve talking. It may mean simply just being there. Paraklesis is also used to picture spectators cheering on a runner in a race. We're even told in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, that encouragement is a spiritual gift, an ability that God can develop in our lives. Let's turn there. Romans 12, 6 to 8. Romans 12, 6 to 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The word translated exhorts in verse 8 is parakleo, related to paraklesis. We are to cheer on others as they run the Christian race, especially when they get tired. We need to do our part, which includes attending churches each week if we are able, and give encouragement to others. Point 5. How often to encourage? How often to encourage? Encouraging others is something we should do often. How often? Well, let's turn to Hebrews 3, 13. Hebrews 3, 13. Exhort one another daily. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. As God's people at the end of this age, we all need to practice paraklesis, encouraging, giving comfort, lifting up, cheering on constantly. Some people avoid this responsibility. They are repelled by people who are not as strong as they should be spiritually, so they don't encourage the weaker people. They find it unsettling. But the scriptures say that those who are strong should support the weak. Romans 15:1. Let's turn there, Romans 15:1. Romans 15:1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. Point 6. Which words to encourage? Which words to encourage? Some people assume one has to have an eloquent vocabulary, several theological and speech degrees, and a vast knowledge of psychology to be qualified to encourage and inspire someone else. But notice Proverbs 12, 25. Proverbs 12, 25, which I'll read. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Just a couple of words, even awkwardly phrased, can trigger new zeal and renewed confidence in someone. God doesn't have to give us an eloquent speech to encourage others. God can give us simple words, but it takes God's direction. God knows what to do. If we are down, if we are mourning, if we've had a particularly rough, awkward week, we need to ask God to lift us up in His way. He may use the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to generate positive thoughts in our mind. He may send an encourager into our life. Then, when we are comforted and encouraged, we can often go and comfort and encourage others. Point 7. Mystery Levite, named Son of Encouragement. Mystery Levite, named Son of Encouragement. In the early weeks of the fledgling New Testament church, the wealthier converts sold real estate and other possessions to share with the more needy brethren. Curiously, the only person named as an example of this generosity was a certain Joses, J-O-S-E-S. To identify this mystery, Son of Encouragement, let's turn to Acts 4:36. Acts 4:36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated Son of Encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. From Good News, February 86 article, Barnabas, Son of Encouragement. We know throughout this point, some may be surprised to learn that Barnabas was the major human instrument God used to employ Paul in the ministry and to get the Gentile work off the ground. Barnabas was genuinely humble. He was able to see the good in others. Because of this, he became a prime factor in the growth of the early church. Scripture makes some unusual statements about Barnabas. One concerns the special name he was given by church leaders, a name that seems to have characterized his ministry. The use of this name, Encouragement, is significant. The Greek word can also be translated consolation or comfort. John 14:26 uses a slightly different form of the Greek, quoting American Standard Version John 14:26, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The name Barnabas, then, has essentially the same meaning as the word Jesus used to describe the presence of the Holy Spirit. The personification of encouragement as the father of Barnabas is also significant. He must have manifested this trait in an outstanding way. This unique individual was a warm and encouraging person. He was positive and uplifting. He was able to see the best in people, to overlook the differences that could produce personal prejudice. Saul of Tarsus had been public enemy number one to the Christians. Saul led a Gestapo-like group of Jewish zealots on a crusade to completely eradicate the Christians, Acts 8:1. The apostle Barnabas, however, was able to put aside fear and bias to see the good in Saul. Barnabas stuck his neck out to help Saul win acceptance from the apostles, Acts 9:27. When the church leaders at headquarters in Jerusalem heard this news, they decided to investigate and selected Barnabas for the trip, Acts 11:22. Barnabas arrived at Antioch and found that the work among the Greeks was genuine. Being the positive, warm fellow he was, Barnabas was delighted. Let's turn to Acts 11:23. Acts 11:23. Barnabas encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Unhampered by pride and preconceived notions, Barnabas could see the potential for good in Gentiles. Barnabas lived up to his name, welcoming the new converts. Another unusual statement is found in the following verse. Luke was so impressed with Barnabas that when he compiled the book of Acts, he stated under inspiration, next verse, Acts 11:24, quote, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit, also known as the Comforter, which his name meant. Barnabas literally stands out for the special ability to see the good in others and encourage them. Acts 11:24 ends with, quote, and a great many people were added to the Lord. The growth was so rapid that Barnabas realized he was overextended. Assistance was needed to properly pastor the new brethren and allow additional growth. Barnabas was about to make a second major move that would ensure the great impact of Saul of Tarsus on the future of Gentile Christians. Remembering what had been predicted about Saul, Barnabas realized that now was the time, and Antioch was the place to activate Saul's ministry. So we read in Acts 11:25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. Together they returned to Antioch, staying there for a year. Saul probably acted as a kind of associate pastor, subject to the leadership of Barnabas. When the two are mentioned together, Barnabas is named first. Acts 11:30, hands of Barnabas and Saul. Meanwhile, quote, the word of God grew and multiplied, Acts 12:24. While the ministry there was fasting and praying about this matter, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit made it plain that God had set apart Barnabas and Saul for a special mission. Acts 13 verse 2 says, Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. A new phase in the preaching of the gospel was about to unfold. The pair took along young John Mark and set sail for Cyprus, Barnabas's home country. It is ironic that a major change in the roles of Barnabas and Saul occurred on this very island. They preached the word at Salamis on the eastern end, then crossed the entire island to the city of Paphos, Acts 13:4-6. But consider Barnabas's position. He had been in charge over Paul. He had championed the cause of Saul and helped him into the fellowship of the church. He was the one who dug Saul out of the woodwork at Tarsus and reactivated him. Barnabas was the pastor at Antioch. He was the leader of this evangelical tour. What if Barnabas had dwelt on all these things? Barnabas had to decide there at Paphos whether to humble himself and submit to God's greater purpose. All we know is that verse 13 simply records, Acts 13:13, "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga." Previously, it had always been Barnabas and Paul. Now, it was Paul and his party. Paul was the leader. The entire focus of the book of Acts is on Paul. But let's focus on the example of Barnabas. Perhaps he was willing to admit that Paul had certain characteristics that were better suited for the job at hand. Barnabas was a warm and encouraging sort, which is a necessary quality of leadership. At least it is safe to say that he had a similar attitude to that of John the Baptist. Submitting to the new leadership of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist said in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Barnabas practiced what Paul later preached in Philippians 2:3, which I'll read. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or concern, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." Barnabas manifested this same attitude by seeing the good in people. He dwelt on positives. He saw potential for the future. We do know enough that we can benefit from his sterling example. What else, after all, would we expect from a man called Son of Encouragement? Next 4 points come under the category of commit acts of encouragement. Point 8. Let's say words of encouragement. Let's say words of encouragement. 4 examples. Quote, "I just wanted to take the time to thank you for your encouragement. It's so refreshing to have someone who really cares about another. Your examples of your experiences were truly valuable. I will take them to heart. Have a great week." A year later, I received another card from the same individual. I would like to thank you for your encouragement during a long time of trials for me. Your example of following Jesus Christ and serving is excellent. You, Mr. Paul Anderson, and others have been great examples in putting your heart into the work. Example number 3. Thank you for inviting us to your home. What wonderful fellowship. As said in the Good News article, when you need a friend, there is a spiritual component that can only come from the calling, a common calling, spirit, and way of life. I was especially touched by your encouragement. You're a wonderful light in God's church and zeal towards God. I'll never forget your saying in college, always put God's first, put God's first with love. Example number 4. Approximately 20 years ago, just a note of appreciation to thank you for that money. $50 is a lot of money to us right now. It is our prayers that God will bless you tenfold. Your advice and counsel was really a godsend and is deeply appreciated. I am at a fork in the road right now, and I'm trying to look up the road as far as I can in both directions. I will call Mr. X Monday morning and take it from there. You've given me a way to go and renewed hope and faith. Wherever and however things turn out, I will let you know. Thank you very much again. Love you. So, let's say words of encouragement to people we know going through difficulties. Point 9. Let's write words of encouragement. Let's write words of encouragement. 5 examples. Number 1. I heard that you are not doing well at all. We are thinking of you. It is easy to give up sometimes just by saying I've had it. Honestly, I've felt that before. But we are not to make those decisions. God knows when we've had enough. God will never leave or nor forsake us. And that is a promise. We need to do our part. We are a family and should be concerned for one another. If there's anything we can do, please let us know. We are here just one phone call away. Example number 2. We were delighted to hear that God has provided a way of escape from your trial. God loves you both. Your sacrifices and unselfish deeds are not going unnoticed by God and our brother, Jesus Christ. Our reward is in heaven, where our real treasure lies, not here. We look forward to seeing you at services soon. Although the room is small, it is indeed cozy, and we thank God for it. We are a close-knit family here. Our prayers are that the problems which exist will be taken care of by God our Father. We await His intervention, no matter how long He tests us. We all want to do the right thing to please Him. Signed, with love. Example number 3. Card received. Thank you for your warm, encouraging note. It meant a lot to me that you would take the time to write to me words of encouragement. It greatly heightened my esteem of you both. The note, the way you twice dropped everything and came to our rescue. I admired your good qualities, attitudes, you obviously have your eyes on the reward God has waiting for you. Example 4. Note written to our dear friends. Quote, "There are many warm memories of you and good years that are permanent. Your friendship is warm and special. May God remember the love and abundant good fruits of your lives. You touch the lives of so many people and leave wonderful memories." And example 5, write words of encouragement. Note, written to a minister many years ago. "I'd like to express gratitude to you. Your encouragement is so helpful to the spirit and looking to God's kingdom. There seemed no light at the end of the tunnel. Then you came along, and in time, hope and light. It was refreshing that there was reward in fearing God through you. It is encouraging to see you with your smile and kind greetings. Thinking of you brings to mind Job 29:24 in the Living Bible. Quote, "When they were discouraged, I smiled, and that encouraged them and lightened their spirits. Repeatedly, you are in my prayers and thanksgiving." So, let's write words of encouragement. Point 10. At the feast, let's encourage people. 3 examples. At the feast, let's encourage people. From a woman and 6 kids with limited money. Quote, "Where do I begin but to say again thank you both for sharing this feast with my family, all 6 kids. Even though they're a handful, you stuck it out with me and gave us a very nice memories to take home. Also, your generosity and kindness towards all of us will never be forgotten. I hope you will be blessed with good health and a very happy marriage together. In more ways than one, you left a mark on especially the older teens. Colleen really needed the special compliments you gave her. She had several obstacles to combat before this feast. You helped her to be glad she came. I wish you around the corner to share things with. But you will spread sunshine wherever you go. We love you both and thank you." Example 2, encouraging people to feast. Quote, "Just a note of thanks for the pleasant memories I will carry from the feast. Both of you have a rare gift of sharing your time and joy with others. Thank you both so much for making sure Rosa and I had such a good time. I'll remember how unselfish you were in giving comfort to Alegria. These are things that make us understand our calling into God's church is truly special, and for the way you both set such a high standard of Christian caring. Thank you again. We'll always remember you with love and thanksgiving." An aside, Alegria was a young Filipino woman who had to go to the hospital 3 days for kidney dialysis during the feast. And we spent one whole afternoon with her in the hospital room while she was getting dialysis. Alegria was incredulous that someone would do that for her at the feast and was moved to tears of gratitude. Example number 3. Quote, "You two and my roommate Faye were responsible for the best feast I've ever had, and Faye says the same. Faye and I speak of you two often. Also, the young lady that had kidney problems, have you heard how she is? may our Father in heaven richly bless you. We can encourage people by taking time to ensure they have a good feast. Point 11. Let's do deeds of encouragement. Let's do deeds of encouragement. An actual street bag lady, black, mid-30s, in our congregation years ago, made her living collecting bottles and cans. One day at Sabbath services, she was very unhappy. I talked to her and found her last day in the current apartment was the following day, Sunday, before she could move into her new apartment in Los Angeles. But the apartment had to be painted and fixed, which would take the landlord time. She was very, very desperate. Before and after services, I rounded up a crew of volunteers to go down to Los Angeles after sundown and paint her entire apartment into the early morning hours. Here's a note I wrote to her. Hi, Doris. Trust you will find your freshly painted, enjoy your freshly painted apartment. Per our brief discussion at services, you wanted the names and addresses of the people who dropped everything on a moment's notice to paint your apartment for you, to have a place to stay, to move in the next day. You were going to send them a note of thank you. 1. Chris Anderson had a dinner engagement he cut short in order to help out. He was in past a professional painter. His father owned a painting business. Saturday 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. Sunday 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 2. Bill Butler, supervisor, mail processing center. He brought his wife and Tom Saturday and Sunday. He presented a gift of a bottle of wine and a shopping bag of oranges and grapefruit to your apartment manager for goodwill for you and for us. 3. Jim Roberts, data processing. 4. Bill Grants. 5. Mrs. Donna Butler. 6. Sam Lennon, data processing. 7. Len Ricci, a painter in Pasadena. 8. Tom, unemployed, going through difficulties. Unfortunately, the paint store closed as we got there Saturday night. So some of us drove back to Pasadena, going from home to home in garages of number 2, 3, 4, and 6, gathering all available gallons of paint that we mixed together in a 5-gallon bucket, coming up with a mixed whites blend. In Luke 17, verse 11 to 19, Christ referenced thanksgiving. It is nice you're sending thank you notes to the above people. It would be nice to send a little note of appreciation also to the pastor. With the painting, carpentry, and repair of your apartment done Saturday night, you indicated your rent is reduced, now $10 per month, where your income is very tight. It's nice to know this will help you years to come. When the managers saw the apartment with the painting and repairs, they were extremely impressed. The lady manager mentioned, "Your apartment now looks nicer than hers with a professional paint job done. With warm wishes," unquote. The apartment manager was amazed. She asked which church we belonged to. A fair number of people were encouraged, including Doris. who could now move in. Last point 12. 31 biblical examples of overcoming problems to encourage us. 31 biblical examples of overcoming problems to encourage us. There is definitely hope for all of us. A, that's a Canadian word. God loves us. There are many reasons why God should not want us. We could get discouraged, but don't worry. We're in good company. Following are not 30, but 31, Renee, subpoints of people in the Bible from whose examples of overcoming we can take encouragement. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David committed adultery. Solomon had too many wives. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Job was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon doubted. Thomas doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was too spiritual. Samson made bad choices in women. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? So did Peter. And lastly, number 31, so did Paul. Well, lots of folks did. But God used them anyway. God does not require a job interview. He doesn't hire and fire like most bosses, because he's more our father than our boss. He doesn't look at financial gain or loss. He's not prejudiced or partial, not judging, grudging, sassy or brassy, not deaf to our cry, nor blind to our need. As much as we try, God's gifts are free. We could do wonderful things for wonderful people and still not be wonderful. Satan says, "You're not worthy." Jesus says, "So what? I am." Satan looks back and sees our mistakes. God looks back and sees Jesus Christ's sacrifice. God doesn't calculate what we did in the past. It's not even on the record. Sure, there are a lot of reasons why God shouldn't want us. If we hunger for God, He'll use us in spite of who we are, where we've been, or what we look like. Let's not let discouragement get the best of us. Remember, Moses started out as a basket case. We need to step out of our limitations. Let's be encouraged and have faith and trust in our wonderful God.